11th chapter. I have a lot of favorite passages of Scripture, but I think probably the most important one to me is the book of Hebrews, because early on, many years ago, when I was first saved, we were encouraged to memorize. And I had the opportunity, the privilege of hiding a portion of the book of Hebrews in my heart. And it has blessed me down through the ages. I want to talk today about faith, but more importantly, I want to expand that faith to the footprints of faith in the sands of time. You know, all of us here today, and it's good to see some of former acquaintances. I was going to say old friends, but I won't say that. And to meet some new ones. But we're all friends, we're all family, family of God, and we're here to worship and to glorify and exalt Him. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. I'd like to read before we have a word of prayer. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I've got my Bible so marked up, sometimes it's hard to read the text. Let's bow together this morning in a word of prayer. Our Father, I am so thankful today that there was a day when someone came to me and showed me in the Word of God my need of a relationship with you through your Son. And it has been a fantastic journey. You have been so good and blessed so abundantly. But we're thankful, Father, even today, as we look into the Word of God, we pray that there might be words of encouragement, that there might be words of faith, that there might be words of strength. But above all, we pray that this time together might bring glory and praise to you. And again, Father, we pray for your direction, for your Spirit to overrule, for your glory and for your praise, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' blessed and holy name. I don't have an outline today, but when I'm here in September, I will have an outline for you to follow. Basically, today, I want to take, and in September, take the word faith and expand on it and build, but today, I would like to build a foundation for us to rely on. Faith is, and someone has said, faith is the expectation that God will accomplish His will through His children. Or sometimes He will accomplish His will in spite of His children. Sometimes we don't always follow the path that God leads, but God works all things after the counsel of His will. By faith we are sure of eternal things, that they are. By hope we are confident that we shall have them. Faith is a substance hoped for, but hope is not faith. Hope is not faith. I probably have gotten away in my older years, but there was a time I used to think, man, I hope I can have $1 million. I hope I can have a lot of money. I hope I can have this. I hope I can have that. Well, unfortunately, I don't buy lotto tickets, so that's no concern. It's never going to happen. I don't think I have any rich uncles, and most of the people that I know are probably in the same boat that I am, living day by day on the meager retirement that we have. Faith is a substance hoped for, but hope is not faith. Some people say, I encounter this, I think most of you are aware that I work as a chaplain in the hospital. And a lot of times I will talk to people and they will say, well, I hope I'm going to heaven. Well, hope does not get you to heaven. It takes faith. It takes trust in the Savior of the world. There's an old Negro spiritual, I think, holds a grain of truth. And I can't talk the language. I will try to imitate it. But the Southern slaves used to say, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. And you know, a lot of people talk about heaven, but they ain't going there because they don't have Jesus Christ in their heart. Now, the word here, substance, I think is very important for us today. In the Greek, the word substance is made up of two words. And I'm not a Greek scholar, although I like to read those that have studied in Greek. But the Greek word substance is hypostasis. And it is two words indicating under and to stand. Faith is the foundation upon which hope stands. Someone has said faith is the title deed to hope. The song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. My hope is not in a church. My hope is not in a person. My hope is not in a pastor. My hope is not in what I do. My hope is in what Jesus Christ has done for me on the cross of Calvary and provided salvation for me. We sang the song, Because He Lives. And I love the song. There's only one part of the song I don't like. And so I change it when I'm singing it. So if you're standing next to me when I sing, if you can endure my singing, there's one phrase that I change. I know that He holds the future. Well, not only does He hold the future, He holds my future. He holds your future if you're a child of God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. In Scripture, hope is never a wish, a dream, or a fantasy. Hope is that settled assurance that comes to the child of God who by faith lays hold of the promises of God and claims them for himself. Hope must have a foundation, and in Scripture the foundation of hope is the promises of God. The word evidence includes the idea of conviction, a settled feeling of certainty. This certainty concerns things that are yet future, for they are not seen. If by faith we have assurance, confidence, and conviction, we will of necessity patiently endure until we realize that which we confidently expect. That's from Dwight Pentecost, who was an author, a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary and Seminary. Pardon me when I get my tongue all tangled up. What is faith? How do you describe faith? I think one illustration that really brings it up to me, the children are gone now, but you look at your grandchildren or the neighbor children and see them running around and they've got all kinds of energy. I love little kids and I love the energy that they have. But the only thing is, I wish I could bottle some of that energy. I'd use it myself, and I'd probably sell you some if you need it. But you can't bottle faith. Faith, you cannot grasp, you can feel it, and you can't sell it. You can't go to the doctor and get a prescription for faith. You can't go to Walmart, Costco, or any of these other stores and get a bottle or a package of faith. Faith comes by experience, living in the plan of God for His glory. There's only one place, only one way to get faith, and that's from God. I'm going to quote a number of scriptures this morning in relation to faith. I'll give you the reference, but I will read a portion of that passage of scripture. Number one, and this is probably a passage you all know, we are saved by faith. By grace are you saved through faith. And it is not of yourself, it is a gift of God. One day, I was older when I became a Christian. I had lived on the other side of the cross. But one day, God opened my eyes to the truth of the Word of God. And boy, I stop and think, how many years has it been? And I think back almost 60 years ago when I, in another church here in Wenatchee, stepped out in faith. Now, typically, back then, I was very bashful. I couldn't say three words in front of two people. But when I got to faith in Christ, He changed all of that. By grace, you're saved through faith in that, not of yourself. I remember my own experience. We sat in the back row with the young people, as far back as we could get. I was married at the time. My wife knew the young people. And the pastor gave the invitation, and I swear, the song Just As I Am, I think it has four stanzas. But I felt like that day that it had probably 15 stanzas, because the pastor would have the group sing Just As I Am without one plea, and I would hold onto the pew. I ain't going up there, I'm bashful. I'm not getting in front of all these people. And I never did go back and check, but I'm almost convinced that that pew probably has hand marks where I held on. And after about the 15th stanza, God said, okay, buddy, you're going. And so I went, and things changed for eternity. We are saved by faith. We live by faith. Hebrews 11:30, they received a good report through faith. We hope by faith. Hebrews 11:10. By faith, Abraham looked for a city whose maker and builder is God. What are you looking forward to today? Going to work tomorrow? Retiring next week? Going on vacation? Or are you looking forward to the time when Jesus Christ will call His own home and we will be raptured out of this world? We hope by faith. We fight by faith. In Ephesians chapter 6, we have the armor that is provided for us. And one of the pieces of the armament is a shield of faith. We labor by faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and a lot of times we skip 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that He might be glorified through Him, through them. We teach by faith. You know, it's not really important what I say. It's not really important what a Sunday school teacher says. It's not really important what a pastor says. But the most important thing is what they say in relation to the Word of God. Because the Word of God is our source of life and enjoyment. We teach by faith and we love by faith. 1 John 4:21. Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said, to trust in light, in the light, is nothing. But to trust in the dark, that's faith. And if you've ever had a dark experience in your life and you've gone through it, you have to trust God to accomplish His will through it. Now in the future, I want to talk about faith in the plan of God. And that's the Word of God. I want to talk about faith in the promise of God, and that's in history. And I want to talk about faith in the future of believers, and that deals with the rapture, hope, and so on. And in Hebrews 11:39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received the promise. Abraham looked for a city whose maker and builder was God. Just in the position that you're in right now, without a pastor, I would like to suggest some things. I'm thankful that you have an interim coming. I am thankful for the opportunity that I have to be here. But I want to suggest some things to you, the church as a body. Number one, you need to have faith in leadership. The men of the church, those that will be looking for a pastor, those that will be searching, it's difficult today in the day in which we live to find a pastor that will come and labor. There was a day when pastors graduated from college and they didn't have a big church with benefits or a salary or anything else. They went out and knocked on doors and led people to the Lord and built a church one by one, two, three, and a family. And eventually, and churches in this community have experienced that. But pray for the leadership to find the right man and faith in God's timing. When you go through a time without a pastor, it's a difficult time. But you need to have faith in your leadership, you need to have faith in God's timing, and you need to have faith in God's plan for you in this transition time. You need to have faith in God's promise or purpose. Faithfulness in your walk. You know, it's easy when a pastor is not here, when a pastor is gone. They say that when a pastor's away, the sheep stray. Don't stray. Be faithful, obedient to what God has for you here for His glory and for your praise. You know, really, our agenda is not that important. The most important thing is what God wants for us individually, what God wants for you as a church, what God wants for all of us for His glory. We cannot see faith, but we can see the footprints of faith. All of us here today, parents, pastors, teachers, leaders, Christians, all of us have an impact upon those that we come in contact with. Now I live in an adult facility, and it's not an adult facility for retarded. It's an adult facility for retired. But anyway, you have an effect on the people that you come in contact with. There are some people there who, regardless of what you do, what you say, just grunt at you. The other people that smile, the other people that joke. When I go through the lobby or something like that, I'll say, good morning, or how are you, Susie, or whatever. I will try to be friendly. Footprints in the sands of time. A little test. How many of you know what happened in 1894? None of you were here, I don't think. If you were, you're over 100. What happened in 1894 that has significance in the footprints of faith in the sands of time? In 1894, a group of believers started a local church in Wenatchee. In 1894, the groundwork was laid for First Baptist Church in Wenatchee. And that church in 1984 was 100 years old. Unfortunately, that church is no longer in existence, but that church left footprints in the sands of time. If you've ever been involved in starting a church, it's hard work. It requires a lot of faith. Now, I don't know, in 1894, of course, that must have been a tremendous job for them to start a new church without all of the technology that we have available to us today. We have the internet, we have cell phones, we have Facebook, all kinds of things that we can reach out and touch people. Reaching a community, calling, finances building. Some pastors start a church and others carry on. I don't know all of the history of First Baptist of Wenatchee. At one time, I've seen the pictures of those that pastored, but one comes who has an evangelistic style, and he reaches out to the community, and people are saved, and people come in. And then after a period of time, that pastor leaves, and another pastor comes in who is a pastor who builds. And keep that in mind as you make the transition here. You're building, you've built, and you need to grow, and you need to go on. What was the result of Wenatchee First Baptist Church? In the 50s, First Baptist Church reached out to the community that they lived in and started some new churches. Now, the circumstances really aren't that significant. The fact is they reached out and touched a part of the community. This church here today is part of that reaching out, the footprints in the sands of time. I remember our pastor, when I was saved, encouraged us to meet pastors that were starting churches. I remember Tom Miller, East Wenatchee First Baptist Church, Dave Douglas in Soap Lake, so many others that labored to start a church. Not only East Wenatchee First Baptist Church, but Bible Baptist Church in Wenatchee, which is Lincoln Park today. Footprints in the sands of time. Bible Baptist Church is a church where I met Jesus Christ and became a believer. And those footprints had an imprint upon my life. Churches obtain land, they meet in a rented space, they knock on doors, finances, new building, volunteer labor, pour concrete, sheetrock, roof, and paint. I don't recall any instance where I have blood on some part of the building here, but I know that there are some churches, Bible Baptist for one, where I have blood, sweat, and tears invested in that church. That church, Bible Baptist, in the 1950s, their footprints reached out and sent seven young people off to different ministries. Seven people left that church to go to training for some aspect of Christian service. Of that seven, two became pastors, two became nurses, and three became Christian workers. And those two pastors eventually became chaplains in the hospital and continued their ministry. Footprints in the sands of time. Footprints were left. Trees leave seeds that produce other trees. We leave footprints that produce other footprints. Psalm 71, verse 18. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, I'm there. Oh God, do not forsake me. 50 years and he's never forsaken me until I declare thy strength to this generation, your power to everyone who has come, is to come. Not 50 years, but 60 years. I had the opportunity, the blessed privilege of starting a new church. I had my vision back then. I was imprinting, and I don't know if the name John Ruhlman means anything. It maybe does to some of you. He said, you know, you have talents that God could use. And I thought, well, okay, I'm going to use them right here in Wenatchee and make a living. Well, probably a couple of weeks later, I got a magazine from, I think it was Baptist Men Missions, and they were advertising for a printer in Liberia, Africa. And God said, okay, buddy, you're the man. You're the man. So, okay, we went to school. We went off to college. Shirley and I, Paul and Glenn and Neff, Gene Chapton, there were five of us went to college. Two nurses stayed here in town and got their education. Went to college intending on going to the mission field. God canceled that because my wife's health would not do it. So I came back to Wenatchee. And I thought, well, okay, God, I want to make a bargain with you. I'm not going to the mission field, but I don't want to go into home missions. I don't want to go and start a new church. And God said, well, I'm sorry, buddy, you don't have a vote. That's what you're going to do. And I had the privilege, and I really am thankful for the opportunity that God gave me to go to Bremerton to have a part in starting a church, to have a opportunity to build and mold people for the glory of God. And I don't say this other than to praise God that church this year is 50 years old. So God leaves footprints in the sands of time. The word faith is used 366 times in the New Testament. 82 times faithful, 29 times faithfulness, other uses 445 different times. In the book of Hebrews, faith is mentioned 32 times, in chapter 11, 24 of those times are used. Faith gives us strength, gives us encouragement, gives us the endurance to go on for His glory. Faith in God involves belief about God. If God makes a promise, does God keep His promises? I think the footprints and the sands of time indicate that God keeps His promises. I can promise you something, but I might fail. In fact, invariably, I would probably fail. But faith involves a belief about God. Faith rests upon the divine testimony of the Word of God. The book of Hebrews is largely a book of faith. The book of Hebrews has no author. A lot of people have suggested Paul, John, Silas, different ones, but no author is known. But the book of Hebrews is recorded by the Spirit of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration. Sometimes God uses men. We don't know the men, but God uses men to record the Word of God. Now, we talked in Sunday school sometimes about difficulty that Christians have in this life. Now, imagine the book of Hebrews obviously is written to the Hebrew believers, Jewish people. Now, imagine the transition that they had to make from Old Testament sacrifices to the priesthood, all of the ordinances they went through, and all of that is done away and through simple faith in Jesus Christ. And the book of Hebrews tries to build that in these Hebrew believers. And ultimately, he gets to chapter 11, and he indicates the steps of faith in the sands of time. And he enumerates many of the Old Testament saints and the faithful walk that they had. And in the future, when I have the opportunity to come back, I want to look at some of those individuals and the different aspects of their faith and their faithfulness to the plan of God. The book of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you want to please God today, you need to have faith. Faith in the leadership that God has placed in this church. Faith in God's plan and program for the future. Faith in the privilege that we have to serve Him. Faith. I talk to people a number of times on different occasions. What's today going to bring? What's tomorrow going to bring? I thought, man, when I was saved, I want to live in the last days when the rapture takes place. I think we're in the last days. I think we are in trouble. And this is a politically incorrect statement, but I think our nation is in trouble because they have forsaken God. But we need to be faithful to God. We need to walk in obedience to Him. And we need to trust Him for the results that He has. And I will pray, I will continue to pray for you and your circumstances here, the needs that you have, but be faithful. Be obedient to God. Trust Him for the results. And He ultimately will bring glory to Himself through it and mold and build you. Faith comes from experience. Faith comes from trusting God in the dark days, and He'll take you into the light. Faith is the victory according to God's Word. Our Father, I marvel today that through simple faith and trust in the promises of God, we can become children of God. And as John wrote in 1 John, the third chapter, now we are the sons of God. When we become children and we're born into the kingdom of God, we can't get unborn. We can't take it away. Sometimes we fail. But Father, we pray that we might be faithful. And especially, Father, I pray for this body here today, that You would encourage them, that You would strengthen them, give them wisdom, give them grace and strength to carry on for Your glory and for Your honor. We'll give You thanks, praise, and all of the glory for it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.